This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, baby. Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Broadus is joining us from Oxnard here any minute now, as I believe Cowboys practice has concluded. Very eventful day, even though it was a less intense practice than maybe anyone they've had to this point. But, you know, Dak was out. They made a trade, and Dak's ankle soreness was back. They traded a depth corner to Minnesota, right? Who was it? Mukuwamu? Nashawn Wright. Nashawn Wright moved to Minnesota. Player for player swap. There's Broadus. How the hell are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Great to be with you guys this afternoon.
It's good to have you. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
All right, so the Cowboys did make that trade, the swap of corners. They get a former second-round pick, Andrew Booth Jr., who I'm sure we'll hear about more. Brian's got Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:45, and I'm sure you'll probably do like a deep-dive study on him when you get time. Maybe we'll circle back.
Got a scouting report on him right now.
Perfect. We'll hit that. That's going to be perfect. I can't wait to hear that. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster got released today by the New England Patriots in other NFL news. As Juju, man, he looked like he was about to be one of the next budding superstars at the wide receiver position. And then he leaves Pittsburgh. He's dealt with some injuries. Just hasn't quite been the same. So I don't know what the next step is for him. Kansas City, I mean, he was successful there, but they brought in Hollywood Brown. They drafted Xavier Worthy. They've still got Rashee Rice. Maybe Rashee Rice gets suspended. That opens up a spot for Juju Smith-Schuster. But Patriots, I guess, that says a lot because they're hunting receivers. I mean, we knew they were interested in Brandon Ayuk. They drafted Jalen Polk. They drafted Javon Baker this past draft. But, man, that means Juju's just not very good if the Patriots are saying goodbye.
Probably Dunsky. I bet he'll get at least one more opportunity, and then if he wants to keep playing, it'll be in the XFL or something like that. But he's done quite well for himself.
Yeah, made a lot of money.
It looks like just he got old early.
He did. Now, Brandon Ayuk turned down the Patriots trade and that $32 million per season because he didn't like their quarterback deal that they've got. Like, he wasn't a believer in Drake May, wasn't a believer in what they've got cooking with Jacoby Brissett, and I know Joe Milton's kind of really turned some heads there. You talk to people at Tennessee, he's like the greatest practice player of all time, but he did look okay yesterday in the preseason game, threw a nice touchdown pass to Jaquay Jackson out of Tulane. But I think this was probably a smart move for Brandon Ayuk. You're looking at where you're going to go next, and if I don't have a team that I'm believing in their quarterback, why should I go there in the first place? I side with the player on this one.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's not like him, and he's still willing to go to Pittsburgh, where you're not going to do much in the way of winning.
But he believes in the head coach, and they do win.
Well, I mean, if you want to win eight games, you know, but like,
well, I mean, they don't lose. I mean, they win nine at least every single year, right, and make the playoffs. So maybe he likes Justin Fields. Maybe he likes Russell Wilson. But, I mean, he knows, and with Mike Tomlin, he's not going to be on a losing team there. Mike Tomlin doesn't have losing records.
Why do we have the feeling that he's going to sign back with San Francisco?
Maybe he will.
I think that's, to me, it's their, you know, San Francisco's going to look at him and go, listen, you don't want to go here, you don't want to go here, you don't want to go here. Okay, we'll offer you this. We'll sweeten it up for you a little bit, and maybe you want to stay here. He might be seeing that, listen, the grass is really not greener somewhere else. You know, maybe it ain't all about the money. You're running me to some teams that I don't think are very competitive, and I don't want to be a part of that just because I got a little bit bigger contract.
Like, if you're Brandon Ayuk, San Francisco offers you 28, which supposedly is the report that they did.
Sign.
Taking that. I would.
Sign.
I mean, that's still what did Waddle get, 28 and a half?
Something.
And I think that's
like
they're comparable type of players, right?
I mean, but that's really like $20 million guaranteed, right? If like three of it's guaranteed.
The guaranteed money would be, and hey, that might be a good play for Ayuk. Like, all right, I'll take less per year, but I need the guarantees to be more. Like, I need to make sure I'm getting the majority of this contract. I know I'm getting the money.
Yeah, I mean, the San Francisco taxes are probably way worse than what you're paying if you get traded to Cleveland. You know, I think that would... That feels like something that would be a pretty big factor there. But, yeah, how much does winning matter? In San Francisco, you know you're going to not just be 8 or 9 wins. You're going to be in the playoffs, and you're likely going to be in a conference title game, and there's a pretty solid chance you'll be in a Super Bowl again. Yeah. So how much does that matter to you? So if it was all about the money, then it would have sure been you just take the 32 and you go to New England, and in 2 years you get yourself out of there, I guess, you know?
Man, they're really working hard to find him the perfect spot, aren't they?
They are.
Well, that's the thing, is because he has to sign off on it.
He does, and they're waiting on that. That's
right.
Their whole thing. And, you know, talking to people out there and talking to Gang of Seven people that kind of know what's going on, they're very adamant about, listen, we want to do what's right for the guy. You know, I mean, if he wants to move on, and they had trade partners that the New England deal was acceptable to them. You know, they have acceptable trade offers. They're just trying to make sure the player goes where he wants to go. And so I think that's the biggest issue right now. Are they, you know, if this thing, I say, they could go, hey, we're out of trade partners here. You know, I mean, you could sign with us and, you know, we can maybe work some things out. But, I, man, if you keep telling me no, I don't have anybody else to trade you to. I'm sorry.
It'll be interesting. Do they have the cap space that they're willing to do 28 instead of 32? Like, that seems like you could create a little bit of wiggle room with how you structure it. I just think that they're out of slots for essentially max paid players, you know, under their salary cap, and they got to move on one way or another.
Especially if they end up a year from now, we're talking about Brock Purdy. What are they going to do there? So that's definitely going to have their hands tied once their quarterback gets paid. Now, they do a good job, it seems, of staggering contracts, much like the Eagles do, and, you know, maneuvering money so it doesn't all seem to be hitting at the same time. But I don't know. That's one where you can't pay everybody. Maybe Ayuk was the one that they looked at and said, this is the most we can give you, man, with our cap situation. This was a scary deal. Carolina played New England last night. They get in at 2:35 a.m. Friday morning at the Charlotte airport. They flew on Delta, but the flight ended up running off the runway. Now, I guess emergency crews respond. Everybody was okay. It took a skid into the mud while it was taxiing to Wilson Air Center, and the lighting ended up being a little bit off, apparently, but... Man, that would be terrifying. Like, you land, next thing you know, you're skidding off the runway, you're in a ditch in the mud. Luckily, everyone was okay here, but man, a scary moment for the Carolina Panthers.
Did they have to pop the doors to get everybody off?
Yeah, they had to deboard right there on the runway.
They did.
Did they hit the slides?
I didn't see video of it. Maybe they did hit the slides.
I don't think it was an emergency like that. They might have just brought up staircases.
I think they probably just... boarded like, and normally
you want to hit those slides, don't you, Brian?
I think that'd be a
blast. You know what? I really don't. I mean, I always volunteer when the lady asks, hey, will you get the door off? I mean, you're not going to have to worry about me. I will get the door off if I have to. Yeah. Even if I have to push Chief out of the way to get the door off, I'll do that.
I'll yank that door.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to use those slides in an emergency, but if they want somebody to pull off a demonstration, you know,
I tell you what, man. Guy. Yeah. Because you got to do, they got the technique where you have to kind of jump in the air and then go down. But you got to take, you know, like you take your belt off and all that other stuff because you don't want anything to catch on the slide and rip it.
Makes
sense. For the other people. You got to make sure that you're ready. You know, shoes off, boom, let's go. Get down that slide. Yeah.
And I told you guys yesterday about Falcons wide receiver who they traded for from Arizona, Rondale Moore. He had a non-contact injury, had to get carted off the field yesterday. Leg was in an air cast. He's officially been placed on IR due to a season-ending knee injury. So a big loss there for the Falcons when it comes to their wide receiver core. But Pat Mahomes was mic'd up at Kansas City Chiefs practice, baby. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes you just forget what you need on a practice field, and it just makes Patrick Mahomes that much more human as well. He forgot kind of an important detail for a padded practice.
Oh, dude, I didn't put my pants on. I think anyone notices. I forgot my pants pads. Hey, I forgot my pants.
Maybe he'll think my quads are so big that they look like pants.
I doubt it.
You idiot now, dude. Gotta go put my pants on. See you later, Creed.
Go get dressed.
Forgot to put my pants on.
Looks like an idiot now. Man, even Pat Mahomes forgot something.
That's a big thing for Andy Reid. He's an all pads in guy.
Yeah, I bet.
That's why he's kind of panicking right now, because Andy would have probably said something to him, even though he's one of the best players in the National Football League. But Andy's big on wearing all your gear.
You think they'll notice? You think I can get away with this? No, I don't. I don't think you can, Patrick. I don't think you can.
He's the only coach left with some standards, isn't he? Now that Bill Belichick's
I remember Andy would walk around and he would, you know, hey, you don't have your thigh pads. And then those receivers started doing it with a little, they would take a knee pad and cut it into like a little, almost like a skull can. Ooh. And then that's what they would wear. And Andy's like, no, we're not playing that way today. He had trouble with Hill and all those guys. But Andy is a big stickler on having all your equipment in. So, yeah, I remember those days of him. I think he's the only one, doesn't he? Yeah, he's the only one that I ever remember. I don't remember any other coaches ever. I think Tom Coughlin, I should have probably paid better attention there. But, but you know, he was generally yelling at me about something, so I didn't pay much attention.
Was
Parcells
big on that?
Oh, yeah, Parcells was a gear guy. But not like Andy. Andy was a walk around and, hey, you get your tail pad in today, you know, and you know, nobody wears a tail pad. We did in 1978, but not, you know, not anymore. But
yeah, Andy, come on. I think protecting the tail
is pretty important.
Oh, yeah. Tailbone thing is. Hey, I saw a deal the other day where, like, babies can wear this thing. Wolchek, you might want to look into it.
Okay.
It's like this vest, but it has a little donut on the back of their head. And when they're walking and they fall backwards, they don't, like, smash their heads.
That might be something I definitely need to get
into. Yeah, I've never seen this before. I'm like, babies are tumbling right and left, but this, like, little vest with a protective on the head part, they can fall on their back, and it doesn't injure them at all.
And some of this gear that they've got for the babies now, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, brought us after some of the stuff, you know, some of the spills in Oxnard. I might want to see if they make adult sizes in this for
I'll tell you what, man. It is my knee still hurts. I'm not going to lie. It's still – and, you know, it's I've tried to kind of get it right, but it's just not – it's not – not coming back like I thought it
would. We need to get you in full pads, man.
No, we need to get Broadus on the umbilical cords with the rest of the injured guys.
Yeah, you're right.
I might go to Britt Brown, man. Me and Deuce Vaughn will hanging out over there.
Yeah, part of the rehab crew.
Get ready. Yeah, Britt will get you into shape. Well, okay, speaking of Britt Brown, he's a guy that's going to tell you like it is. Sean McVay jumped on Pardon My Take, and Big Cat is trying to sell him on this fake punt deal, and I think McVay just has the common response that probably all NFL personnel have when they're driving around listening to us talk on the air.
Ready for this play?
Yeah.
Fake punt.
I'm confused.
Okay. You snap the ball to the fullback or someone standing about 5 yards behind the center.
I know, but why?
And then he
you're
and then
already
he
criticizing
fakes
me
punt.
For punting it on fourth down.
I understand, but no one expects the fake punt. Because they say, oh, fake punt, then he laterals to the punter, then he punts.
When are we doing this?
Second down?
Why would we just give away a possession?
It's just, it will fuck everyone up. Sometimes you got to fuck people up.
You know what? Sometimes you got to shut the fuck up.
Sometimes you got to shut the F up. What a great bar.
You know, sometimes you're thinking too much yourself. You know, just shut the bleep up.
He was trying to dial up a second down fake punt?
Fake punt. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick kick.
Pin him down.
We're going to fake punt.
We really trust our defense.
We're going to see it coming on second down.
Why would I just give
game?
Up a possession? You know, just shut the bleep up, Big Cat.
That has less to do about trusting your defense and more to do about having no faith in your offense.
Like, that's something where the Giants at times, maybe they should have
busted out the fake.
Okay, I got two things on this. Number one, that sounds like the kind of sports show I'd love to listen to more.
It's a good show.
Number two, we need to start planning for multiple throws of the ball on the same play.
Yeah. I do like this idea.
I know these are football players, and they're like, oh, ball, I can't throw it and catch it. What kind of an athlete are you? Okay. We have multiple quarterbacks on the team. A lot of wide receivers played quarterback in high school. This is the biggest opportunity staring offensive minds in the face.
Well, hell, Matthew Stafford, it looked like yesterday in the practice, Brian, he ended up catching a pass that deflected and scored.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The ball gets knocked in the air, and he sprints to the goal line to make it a contested catch, and he catches it and gets in.
It's like Mariota, right?
I'm like, what? I go, I mean, you know, they protect these quarterbacks to a point. He sees it go in the air, and he's going to get a touchdown out of this thing. See, it was amazing. I'm like, why? Why would he, you know, he could have injured himself, but that's, you know, Stafford. He was trying to, and he did. He pulled it off.
Everybody in soccer and basketball knows the ball moves way faster than the players. In football, we're stuck in the 50s still, to be honest with you.
Finally here.
Called you out, Brian.
He did. Yep.
It's okay, man.
Caveman. Trusty. Yeah. Shout out to Frank Gore. He's going to be inducted into the San Francisco 49ers Hall of Fame. They're going to do it on a Monday night game against the Jets, September 8th. I believe that might be their season opener.
And yes, I might turn it over three or four times in a game, but the other six times we're going to score touchdowns.
Hey, I'll take the six touchdowns and three interceptions. It kind of sounds
like a
James
Winston. People calling you out for your take that on the text? Is that what happened, Dawson? You had to jump that one in there?
No, I just wanted to add more to it. I thought it was more interesting than what Wolchuk was talking about.
He's just trying to fight.
You know, kind of like my 60-second player yesterday. Yeah.
Gosh.
Stop talking about the 60-second player, Broadus. You know what I mean.
No, I'm a big
back to you, Wolchuk.
You know that. You know that. And the Commanders are going to retire. This is also one of your favorites. Daryl Green, number 28, halftime week 7 against the Panthers. So shout out to Daryl Green getting into the Hall of Fame. That's one of the fastest players in the history of the sport.
Even at age 50, dude.
I think you can still get it done.
4.3s, I think. Mm. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Broadus. Anything else?
No, all good.
Brian,
thank
you got
you.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
But Brian, one more thing.
Yeah.
You got anything? We got Eric Nadell coming up next. You looking forward to that?
I tell you what, I am looking forward to Eric, yes.
Nice little baseball conversation.
You got a rain out, right,
Speaking
today?
Of Flournoy, I got told it was Flannoy, like the R is silent. Can you do something
I've heard
on that?
75 different versions.
What is
of
the
it?
Right way to say his name?
I have
Brian.
No idea. I'll ask. I mean, I'm out here for a reason. I'll find that out for you, Wolchuk.
Thanks, buddy.
So you don't mess it up 75 times this weekend.
That's exactly
just
what
want
we
to
need.
Make sure he's out there for the walkthrough today,
Brian. When he catches a touchdown, Brian, we're going to need to know about this.
Of course, speaking of this weekend, we will be at Hurtado Arlington tomorrow for Fan Bowl. There's going to be a doubleheader going on, a gold medal Olympic basketball game, a gold medal soccer game, and everything in between. Come enjoy the festivities with us. And we're back with Eric Nadell here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, as it's time now for the Eric Nadel Show here on The Fan, powered by the Good Feet Store, and it's joining you now, brought to you by Tylock George Eye Care. Advanced Body Scan. It's Eric Nadel here in the Nation, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Enjoying a semi-rainy day in New York.
Yes. Is it nice enough that you can at least get out and do a little something? Or are you stuck in the hotel?
Yeah, no, it's been okay this afternoon. There's been a few periods of light rain. Apparently, it's supposed to get much worse, you know, within the next couple of hours and not let up until after 10 o'clock tonight. So they made the prudent decision, I guess, and kept everybody from traipsing out to the stadium and called it early.
So when you get to go back to New York, do you still have some spots that you like to visit from your childhood or any favorite restaurants or local joints to hit up?
Yeah, not really childhood spots. My childhood spots, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, and it's, you know, it's kind of a hassle to get there. I don't really have the ambition to do that. But in Manhattan, you know, I've got lots of places I like. There's a Cuban restaurant called Guantanamera, which has live music every night. And I got a chance to go there last night. I went to a Broadway show called Stereophonic, which is a wonderful show about a rock band recording an album, which is loosely based on Fleetwood Mac recording the Rumors album in 1976. It was a wonderful show. The music is by Arcade Fire. And afterwards went to Guantanamera, took in a Cuban band and some great Cuban food. That's just one of the many places that I love to go here in New York.
My Eric, sophomore year. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Eric, if you had to watch a documentary on baseball or a documentary on music, are you taking music every single time?
It kind of depends on what the music documentary is.
Muscle Shoals, the Muscle Shoals thing. Yeah, the Muscle Shoals one in the recording studio in Alabama. Have you ever seen that one?
Oh, yeah, it was fabulous. Love that one. There's one called The Wrecking Crew,
okay,
which I love, about the backup band for all of the hits of the 60s. The Glenn Campbell documentary is sensational. Oh. The Shania Twain documentary is tremendous. There's a great one about the Avett brothers. I don't miss many of those.
Eric Nadel here with you on 105 Through the Fan. The Guantanamera reminded me of my sophomore year Spanish class. Mrs. Combe taught us the great song Guajira Guantanamera.
Isn't
that a great song? Yeah.
They played it last night. The band closed with that.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice. Man, that is so cool. So how do you like a good doubleheader still? You up for that tomorrow?
You know, when I was a kid, every year on my birthday, I would force my dad to take me to a doubleheader, either the Mets or the Yankees, whoever was home around my birthday. And I'm sure he hated it. And he always agreed to go, but, you know, we would leave in the middle of the second game. He couldn't quite make it through the doubleheader. And broadcasters hate doubleheaders. It's just too much baseball for one day. It's better now with the pitch clock, of course. But the first time we actually played at Shea Stadium, and the only time the Rangers played at Shea Stadium in interleague play, was the last year of Shea Stadium. And I kept thinking, as that series started, how I would force my dad to go out to Shea Stadium and sit there, you know, for 5 hours or whatever it was. And then we had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend. The Saturday game got rained out. Ooh. The Sunday game was Father's Day, and I had to do a doubleheader.
There you go. Wow.
And it was my karma for dragging my dad to all those doubleheaders. And it was a horrible day. It was 85 degrees and 80% humidity. Ooh. And we were dying up there. And I'm sure my dad was up above us just laughing.
So was he a broadcaster or just not a big baseball fan?
You know, he was a big baseball fan until the Dodgers moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. When the Dodgers moved to L.A., he completely lost interest in baseball. And at that point, he was going to games really just for my sake. But when I got this job, all of a sudden, both of my parents became really interested again and really closely followed the Rangers and everything that was going on in baseball.
It's Voice of the Rangers, Eric Nadel, here with you on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed it, rained out today. Doubleheader tomorrow starting at 12:30 here on your home of the champs. Now, Yankees, best team in baseball right now?
Well, it's a good question. You know, the Phillies have been struggling of late, so I don't know if you'd go with them anymore. It's a good one. You know, I still kind of like the Orioles. I think that they probably have the best team, at least of the teams that we've seen, they do. We haven't seen the Yankees yet, and we haven't seen the Red Sox yet. So this road trip is really going to be telling, and it's coming at a crucial time, of course. That doesn't need to be said.
What do we know about the pitching matchups, and how do you like them?
Well, I don't know if they're going to stick with the original matchups or not, or if either one of the managers is going to change the order of the starters, you know, now that it's a doubleheader tomorrow. But, you know, the first game we were supposed to have Bradford and Rodon, and Rodon's had a very erratic season, you know, not nearly the year the Yankees thought that he would have in a year that so far has been fully healthy for him. And the Rangers have Cody Bradford, who since coming back from the back injury has not looked anything like the pitcher who went 3-0 to start the year. You know, whether the back has something to do with it or just a matter of rust, he is due for the kind of game that he had in those three starts back in April. So that's the one we're kind of focusing on. You know, after that, we've got Gerrit Cole and Eovaldi if they stay in order, which is about as good a matchup as you can possibly
get. Love that. Yeah. Love a pitcher's duel like that. Now, what about watching Aaron Judge? I mean, where does that fall in line for you right now of, like, guy you most look forward to watching, particularly at the plate?
Well, considering the year that he's having, you know, I'm looking forward to watching him, not looking forward to seeing the damage that he might do. And seeing now that he has a chance to break his own record, the 62 home run record, he's just very slightly behind that pace, and he's been on a tear for the last month or 2 months. Really looking forward to seeing Juan Soto as well. Haven't seen too much of him, you know, in the interleague play, just a few games the last couple of years. So, you know, we'll see the Yankees this series and then the first week in September back at our place, and we'll have a much better feel for what that tandem looks like, you know, batting second and third or third and second, depending on how Aaron Boone's hitting him this week.
Eric, we've had a blast watching the Olympics during our show, and it seems like maybe baseball is going to get back into the summer games 2032 in Brisbane. What do you think about baseball as an Olympic sport? Would you like the big leaguers to be given the opportunity to compete?
You know, I'd like to see them get the opportunity to compete. I really don't think it's doable the way the Major League Baseball schedule is laid out. I really don't think it's going to happen. But I don't have a problem with the major leaguers not being in the Olympics. I don't think they need to be. I understand that, you know, some of the other countries Japan, you know, in particular, are probably putting out a better team than the United States because of the lack of the major leaguers. But we put out a pretty representative team in these Olympics. And, you know, when you consider that last time David Robertson was the closer, you know, during what was a comeback year for him from arm surgery, you know, I think we do okay without the major leaguers. And I don't really want to see the big league schedule, you know, delayed for 2 weeks or pushed back into October for 2 weeks. I just don't see it happening, but I certainly think that baseball and softball should be back in the games. And when you see some of the sports that are in there now, and, you know, I don't mean to demean, you know, any of the sports, but the cross canoeing or cross kayaking or whatever that is, it looks like these guys are on a log flume ride. Some of these sports to me are not as deserving as baseball. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, how about the breakdancing? You getting in on the breakdancing action?
Somehow I'm not considering that as a sport either. I understand it can be a competition. I understand it's an art. I just don't think of it as a sport.
I'll agree with you on most of those points.
I'll
Eric,
drink to that.
Yeah, we don't need to be squeezing out great traditional sports to be, you know, making them up for you know, to get everybody involved. If you ask me, as more of a stick and ball type of sports fan, I'd like to see more of those kind of things in the Olympic Games. But it is a Friday, buddy, and I'd love to know what you're drinking and what you're thinking.
Well, what I'm thinking is that this road trip is absolutely crucial. And as you guys know, I am very reluctant to place a larger importance on a particular game or group of games over any others. But the Rangers have a chance to get buried here if they don't do well on this road trip. You know, you go from 5.5 games out. If you go, they come back and they're 7.5 or 8.5 games out. It's really hard to foresee a path to winding up in the playoffs. So, you know, they really have to at least split this road trip or go 4-2, or, you know, they're going to come home probably in a lot of trouble. And being in New York, there are now more coffee places in Manhattan, I think, than there are in Seattle. But I'm a particular fan of Gregory's Coffee in Manhattan. There are a lot of them all over town. And if people come to visit New York, check them out. They've got a good variety of coffees. I really like it. Gregory's Coffee.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. As soon as it dries out, we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Eric Nadel with you every Friday here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Tylock George Eye Care. Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I got a scouting report for you for a player we just traded for and some thoughts from practice. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Happy Friday to everybody. We'd love for you to join us tomorrow at Hurtado in Arlington for the best barbecue in North Texas and Fan Bowl 2024. The Corner right here is brought to you by Dallas College. Your future begins here, and it's Krusty live on the tennis courts.
Thanks, General. Appreciate that. And thanks to Dallas College for being a part of this. You guys promoting this Fan Bowl stuff, huh? Ready for this tomorrow?
We're pumped, man. We're ready to rock. Ready.
Yeah. Dawson, are you going to play? Are you going to actually play a game? Are you actually going to try and play one of these paper football games?
You can flick it with the best of them, Broadus.
What
you know
are you
that.
Suggesting, Brian? Of course I'm going to play. I'm the best to have never won the big one.
I was
this
just
is my year.
Do we know who your first round matchup is by any chance?
I think it might be Wolchuk.
It might be me. We don't know for sure.
What?
I got drunk Will Chambers. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Light work.
He'll be in the bag by 3 o'clock.
Yeah, Will will show up with a bottle of brown in his hand. And so, yeah, he won't be any good. He won't be any good. I was just curious if you've been practicing at all, Dawson. I know you're a big fan of this paper football stuff.
Might have got a couple of practice quick kicks yesterday at Hurtado and Mansfield.
Damn
Thank
it.
You very much.
A disadvantage now.
I would say you're probably in trouble, Wolchuk, to be honest with you.
Probably am, man.
Probably be
in
trouble.
Chalking up the L.
All right. Speaking of, well, hey, today we had a shells practice today, and I will at the end of after I talk about this shells practice a little bit, I'll get into this cornerback that we traded for today here with the Dallas Cowboys. On the injury report, the guy that didn't practice today was Dak Prescott. Today was really a rest day for him. It really wasn't anything to do with ankle soreness, I don't believe. I think they were just giving him a reason not to practice today. But the practice was really based a lot on – they were using cards. And when I talk about cards at practice, here they worked against the Rams yesterday. But they went ahead and they took their backup players, the guys, a lot of the twos, the threes, the fours – and they got them ready for this game is what they did. So you saw a lot of Cooper Rush today. You saw a lot of Trey Lance today. And I think that, like I say, they're getting these guys ready. When the offensive line, our young tackle, Guyton, practiced today. So I think he'll be good to go for the Rams game on Sunday. But it was pretty much all the backups were taking all the reps when they called for the first, you know, okay, the first group, and then so it's all your seconds, your thirds, your fourths are getting that work. The ones were just, you kind of had an idea that they have a plan. It just looks like they're not going to play many of their starters at all in this particular game. Just for watching how they ran their offense and their defense today, it didn't appear that they were that we're going to see a lot of these starters on Sunday. So, if you're looking forward to that, that's kind of where we're at. Any questions about that, boys?
Yeah, any at all? Like rookie starters, you think?
Well, I think
second year guys. Where's the cutoff?
Like Nealon, Guyton, Carson,
Guyton. Those guys. Yeah, those Guyton.
Give me something, coach.
Yeah, to me. But like I said, you're gonna. When you look at it, it was like Beebe was the starting center. Guyton was in this. They had T.J. Bass in this thing, but then all of a sudden it was also like Awesome Richards. There was no steal. There was let's go. The wide receivers were all the down the line guys too. It wasn't like that you saw. With Tolbert and
wow,
and Brooks and those guys, it was and Cooks. It was like the Billy Johnsons, the Croppers, the Cam Johnsons, guys like that were getting the majority of the looks. And so that's and I was kind of trying to watch what the defensive line was doing, and so you didn't have Tank, and you didn't have Micah. People like that were not involved in it. It was all the backup linebackers. It was like the new linebackers were involved. Nick Virgil was involved. Willie Harvey was involved. Buddy Johnson was involved. You know, you didn't have the Overshones, the Clarks, and Leofau, guys like that. We'll see what they do with Leofau, but I didn't see him too terribly much on the drills that they were showing today and getting ready for this game on Sunday.
I don't mind an overall careful philosophical approach to this, Brian, if that's what you want to do. Sometimes I don't think the benefit of playing is worth the injury risk. You know how I am with those.
Yeah, it's just I think the first time out of the blocks, I could see why they did the scrimmage yesterday, and because they did get a lot of work with their first offense and their first defense. So that kind of, you know, and you could control that type of practice. You could say, okay, we're going to take a break. Don't hit the quarterback. You know, don't take the running backs to the ground. Trying to protect each other here. And I, for the most part, it really, really was a really good practice working with each other. I don't know how much people got to see some of the clips and stuff on DallasCowboys.com. We talked about it a little bit from the 6 to 7 yesterday, that there were some areas that weren't really, really pretty. I was working down with the backup offensive linemen, and they had their struggles against the Rams. It's like, you know, we hadn't practiced technique or any type of pass sets for the whole time we've been here. Everybody kind of reverted back to trying to survive, and it really wasn't all that great. We'll see how things work out on Sunday, you know, a little bit better. Like I say, the one-on-one stuff was for the backup guys was a little scary yesterday.
From what I could gather, the Rams offensive line was struggling with some of the Cowboys.
Oh no, they absolutely were. And both groups. And the Rams are really banged up on their offensive line. So but it was good to see.
Is that why we got some Mozzie a positive yesterday?
With Mozzie, the one-on-one stuff, you know, and today, and actually today, him, just because he had some success yesterday, you could kind of, Mozzie's one of those guys, and I don't know really how to describe it. It's kind of like being a field player. Like when you feel like, okay, I can do this. Yes, okay, I can. You know, he's one of those guys that, usually if he has like a good rep, you know, it was a problem to get a second good rep or a third good rep. But, you know, today he was a little bit more bouncing around, trying to throw some moves. Maybe got a little confidence working on the one-on-one stuff. I know I talked about him on the team period that I didn't think his conditioning was all that good.
Well, sounds like confidence is very important, and it's
very
touch
important
and go.
To him. Yeah, very important to him. And I think the thing with Mazi is, you know, they're going to need him to play well. They just need more consistency with him. He doesn't need to be inconsistent with his consistency. That's, you know, if you want to really be honest about it, because he's capable of doing stuff. You watch DallasCowboys.com, the pass rush stuff, you're like, all right, he could do that stuff. That's the kind of stuff they saw him in when he was at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Okay, why is he unable to take that from this rep to this next rep to this next rep? You know, why? What is the disconnect there? And I think there's times where Mazi lacks a little confidence in the way he plays.
And sometimes being unconfident can get you in your own head. Now you're not reacting. Now you're not present. You're not focused.
Thinking way too much.
Yeah.
But
maybe it's a turning point. That's actually encouraging.
I hope. Because like I said, I didn't get a chance to see, because I was on the end of the field watching offensive line, Cowboys offensive line one-on-one, and then I saw the clips on DallasCowboys.com, and it looked like overall that the Cowboys defensive line had some success, you know, in the one-on-one stuff. And I was like, okay, I see where people are kind of drawn from, but they're going to need Mazi to be good. I'm not asking him to be great. Just go be good. You know, just go find a way to be good, and, you know, and be more consistent with your technique and the way that you play. Get in condition. If you're gonna try something, try it. If it's not successful, go to the next thing. Just don't get in a rut as a player. And I think that's what happens to Mazi. He gets in a little bit of a rut, but hopefully, like we were talking about here, that yesterday's practice gives him a little confidence. And, you know, we'll see if he needs to play in this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
He does not need to be a guy standing over there next to me while the game's going on. You know, he needs to find a way to have some good snaps, whether it's 10, 12, couple series, whatever. He needs to find a way to have develop some consistency where he can develop some confidence as well.
Well, that would be awesome. You know, it's rare for a player to be as bad as he was his rookie year and turn into something, but maybe yesterday was that turning point.
Yeah, and maybe so. And I got to tell you real quick about Andrew Booth. Do I have time, General, or are we
sure.
up against it?
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew Booth, the trade that the Cowboys made.
Yeah.
This is really kind of a – this is just, of course,
Nashon Wright for him, right?
Yeah, just this is mm-hmm. player for player. And this is – this Andrew Booth was the second-round pick out of Clemson. And when you watched him play at Clemson, he played a ton of zone coverage at Clemson. He wasn't always really challenged much as a player. But I just remember him having really, really good quickness with the ability to drive on that football, the plant, the come forward. I think he's a 50-50 tackler at times. He runs. He moves well. There is a burst there when he has to carry the receiver inside. That's always something really, really big with me. Can you carry receivers inside? Can you run them? I just didn't think in college they got many opportunities. And then you watch him with the Vikings. He is a good size corner. He plays on the outside. I know people on Twitter are all saying, oh, he's a good inside player. I did not see him play one snap inside. And I watched him play with the Vikings, and they had him primarily playing as a right corner is what they had. But he's good with his hands. He can jam the receivers along the line of scrimmage. I liked his reactions. I liked how aware he was as a player, especially when stuff was coming in front of him. Like I say, he'd be in a zone drop, and then something would happen, and then he'd have the ability to react. He was not afraid to fill on the run when it's coming his direction. But I feel like, though, that, you know, again, he's going to be a 50-50 tackler when it comes, because he makes a tackle, and then in the Tennessee game, he missed a tackle in space, the two really opportunities he had. And then the Seahawks caught him on a double move for a touchdown in a game. So that's something we need to kind of keep an eye on. How aggressive is he going to play? I think for the most part, though, like I said, you got Nashon Wright, who really wasn't going anywhere with the Cowboys. And probably the same thing with Andrew Booth with the Minnesota Vikings. They probably felt like he wasn't going anywhere with them. So you just get two players. It's like, hey, change the scenery. Here we go. You take our guy, we'll take your guy, and then we'll move on forward from here.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Dallas College. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
The gold medal match of the women's beach volleyball is going on. First set, they're getting into extra points. It's like 23-22 right now. A drama-filled afternoon once again in Paris. And speaking of those Olympics, Chief, we have an addition to Pure Gold coming up, right?
Yes, we do. We got USA on the track and the best Olympic still shot of this year's games next in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.